We're continuing, and this will be the last week of our series of journeys during the month of January, where I sit with someone and we drill them with questions. And this morning, Andy, you will be drilled. You dressed perfectly this morning. I'm very happy. Yeah, that was really good. You're looking good. Andy, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us about your journey. Obviously, you've connected here. You were connected here. What took you away?
Cool.
What took me away? So, I guess I was really happy at the hut and really enjoyed it. And we had a year where it was where there was a group of us who sort of just pitched in to help out. And we had Eddie and Kath helping us out in that time. And it was a good year. And I think in that time I suddenly started to feel a call to ministry, I guess, in many obviously a call to ministry. And so what led me out was that call. And in that time, sitting up the back of the church, I was sitting there praying, going, okay, God, if this is real, what's next? What do I do? The church was that stage going through the process of finding the next youth pastor, who ended up being Hamish. And I was like, Lord, what do you want from me? You know, and I think I was typical of a guy in his 20s with ambition and a little bit arrogant, and thought I could probably do it all. And Jesus said, you know, it's time to go and find your Paul. You're like a Timothy, you need to be shaped and molded. And so I was like, oh, that's cool. And then Dawn got hold of me and said, I'm looking for an intern at Crawley, would you be interested in it? And so prayed about that and really felt that that was where I should go and learn. I'm not a high intellectual and good at study, so I learn on the tools, so to speak. And so it was a good opportunity. So that's what led me out, was obedience to follow what I felt God was doing. And I think it was exciting but uncomfortable as well. It was leaving the nest and jumping out and flying.
How long were you in the church?
I started in Lower Hutt Baptist on the 26th of October 1976. Or the nearest Sunday to that. Mum and Dad were at the church, and
you're born into it.
Yeah.
That's pretty subtle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all part of the plan.
Yeah.
I know. I know two people in particular that invested quite a lot in you, and that you
yes.
learnt and grew from.
Yes.
Myr. And yes. and Dawn Withers.
Yes.
Now, before Myr went off to her 6-week trip away.
Yes.
Myr's
very good at confidentiality as well.
Oh, she told me so much. But Myr had came to me just before she left. She said, "I can't be there for Andy, but I have this video that Dawn
yes,
made
I'm
of him."
I'm sure.
And she said, "You've got to play it. You've got to play it, because in part, it shows a lot of your time here at our church
yeah.
back at Lower Hutt."
Yeah.
So, Susan, if you could play that video for us.
And I'm just going to take a selfie and...
That's George right there.
Never knew me a better time, and I guess I never will. I'm not a mama, 'cause I'm a
Yeah, so I've always followed any fashion.
Any parent worried right now? Who was it? You did affirm the calling, though.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Can't do anything about it now, right? So that's from Mer and Dawn to
bless
you.
Bless them. Got a little selfie I'll send to Mer, but in the background.
So what drew you back here?
What drew me back? How long have we got? So earlier this year, I guess I've always lived quite openly to what I felt God was calling me to. And I have a consistent prayer. I would pray that, Lord, is this where you want me? Is this what you're doing? You know, where do you want me to be? And always felt at peace with where I was at. After Easter last year, I was sitting there and I was just praying my prayer and expected the same response as usual. And for the first time, I felt like God was saying, it's time to finish it at Batoni. And so my ears pricked up, and I spent the next few months just really listening and discerning God's call, and felt like God was speaking to me about this community. I guess you'd say I knew it in my heart, but my brain took a while to kick into gear. So I spent the better part of 4 months just really sitting and listening and discerning, was that right? And I really felt, okay, it's time to finish at Batoni, and was prepared to finish. And if I carried on in ministry, so be it. And if I didn't, that's so be it also, and trusted God. A big part of that was I spent a few days doing a silent retreat, which those who know me well knew that was a huge challenge. But one of the things that I really felt God led me in that time was to the story of Abraham and his trust in God as he took Isaac on a 3-day journey, and following God's obedience in that. Mm. And at the end of that, after Abraham finds the ram caught in the thicket, he names the mount where they at was Yahweh Yireh, which means God will provide. And so it gave me a peace that no matter what happened, I felt like God was saying to me, don't worry, Andy, everything will be fine, and I'll always provide for you. So I sort of felt, right, if that's what God wants, we'll follow that process. So it's putting my feet and my heart and my ears and my eyes and my mouth in the use of God and His Spirit.
That's awesome. So what excites you about being here? And what also, honestly, I'm using the word worry, but I don't feel that's the right word. What concerns you or worries you about coming back in and the role that you're facing?
Marilyn concerns me a little bit. With video, so she's got a lot of dirt. I'm excited about journeying with the young people here. I'm excited about us and the leaders discovering what God is actually calling that part of this community to be like. I'm excited about shaping that. I'm excited about where you guys are going and on the track that you're on. It was pretty awesome. On Tuesday we had a staff day, and it was just awesome listening to the other team and Rob fed back some of stuff from the elders. And it got me excited about this community and who you are and what you want to do. I'm excited to discover that. I have, there's suspicions in my heart which God is placing there, and as a team and young people together, I guess, and youth team would be discerning that together. So yeah, I think this, yeah, it's an exciting season. If God has brought me in, then there's exciting. Mm. I think he's going to challenge me. Mm. And push me outside my comfort zone. I don't know if God ever likes keeping us particularly too comfortable.
Yeah.
That's always, I guess, something that which I'm like, oh, what's God going to do? Yeah. But that's where quality of faith.
Cool. Can I pray for you, buddy?
No, of course.
Why do I ask? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Andy, Lord. Thank you for the journey that he's been on. Thank you, Lord, how you've brought him in and around and now back here, Lord, for his time at Petonian, how they've been blessed from his work and how he has been blessed by their support. I pray, Lord, as he begins the next season of his journey here, Lord, that you bless him, that you go before him, that you do challenge him, Lord, challenge him to grow, to take that next step. But I pray for our youth and our young people, the excitement and that the discernment of what the next steps are for the ministry. For us as your body, as your church, Lord, put it upon our hearts to be praying for Andy, praying for the youth, and supporting in whatever way we can, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your blessing on us. Thank you for Andy, Nikki, and the kids. Bless them and bless our time together in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, buddy. I get to monologue now. It's interesting, when it comes to calling, we like to embody it in a person other than ourselves. We like to say, yeah, Rob's the pastor. Or we like to say, hey, you know, we're going to call Andy because Andy's our youth pastor. But here's the catch. Everybody in this place has a calling. You are all set aside and you are all called by the living God. Matthew 4, 18 to 22, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. He said to them, come, follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. These were people that had no special talent other than catching fish. These were people who left everything because they were called by a stranger on the beach. We are all called by that same stranger. His name is Jesus. Now, some of us do have a specific calling. I feel called to be a senior pastor here. Andy feels the calling of being the youth pastor here. Abraham had a calling to go to the promised land, to Canaan. Moses had a calling to go to Egypt. Some of us have a very specific calling, but we each still have a calling. We're all called to worship the living God. Luke 4:8 said, you know, Jesus, in responding to the people around him, he said, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. That's a calling. That's actually a calling that we all have. We're all called to commune together, to be the body of Jesus Christ. For some reason, the Almighty God wants to use us to do his work. That's pretty cool. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 8. You also, the living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're called to worship. We are called to gather together. And we're called to his mission. He has given us all a mission. And we read that in Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We are all called on this mission. We're not called to do this alone. We're not called to send other people out to do that. We are called together. And those who we set apart, like myself or Gareth or Wendy or Andy or Kathy, we set them apart so that they can help us, equip us to go out for this very mission, the calling that we've all been given. Now, for some of you, that's in a different place or a specific place, in your place of work, in your place, in your neighborhood, right here in Lower Hutt. It was really interesting this week. It's not this week. It was actually a couple of years ago. Yeah. You know, you get it in your head. You talk. Hang on, it's not a couple of weeks ago. It was a couple of years ago. I got to know the people at Buzz very, very well. I basically live there. And the owner, Michael, I was sitting there. I said, Michael, I always visit you. You never come and visit me. Come on, you don't even have to pay anything to come and visit me. And he's like, oh, Rob, and it's the usual response. Rob, you know, the walls would fall down if I came in. I said, you know how many people have told me that, and I've never once seen the walls ever fall down? And we started talking, and Michael's been with Buzz, not just where the store is now, but in other creations around Lower Hutt, and he made the comment. He goes, well, how big's your church? You got, what, 30, 40, 50 people in the church? I said, no, mate. For everyone who comes to our church at least twice a month, there is 320 of us. And he almost fell out of his chair. And his comment was, where are you all? And we laughed, but that just kind of stuck in my head. Where are we? Now, I told him, you most probably don't realize this, but actually, most of us come here and you wouldn't know it. In fact, last Friday afternoon, I was with someone having coffee, and all of a sudden, a couple of other people came in, and we doubled the numbers in Buzz. And I pulled Michael over. I said, Michael, come here. And he said, what? I said, if you look around your store right now, more than half of the people in the store come from Hutt City Baptist Church. And he looked around. There was only six people in there at the time. Four of them were us. Right? He's like, yeah, I think he was pointing at Richard. I've seen Richard before, and I've seen Brent before. Oh, I didn't realize. I think it's time that people don't just see a name or a writing on the wall, that they see us. And that through us, they see Jesus. We are called to make disciples of the nations. Let's start with Lower Hutt. Those of you who got my email this week, there's just a little bit in there this time, wasn't there? That's the problem when you send your pastor away for a few weeks to think things out, right? Comes back with a long. But the challenge for you is this. We're going to provide every means for you to be able to feel equipped, encouraged, prayed for, sent out, challenged to reach people around you for Jesus Christ. We're not reaching them for Hutt City Baptist Church. We're reaching them for Jesus. And we want to see change because this world desperately needs Jesus. If there is ever a time, and there is always a time, but especially now. It's great to have Andy called to our church as youth pastor, but I want to remind you this morning, you too are called. And we can get really formal about it if you want. And I can make you stand, Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Do you promise to follow Him in all that you do, putting Him first in everything?
Yes.
Are you called to the challenge that He has given us to make disciples of this planet so that people may come to know our Savior and Lord?
Yes.
Oh, that was a mouthful, wasn't it? May the Lord bless you, and may you be encouraged as we start this new season in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone here said,
amen.
Amen. Take a seat. I want to ask our worship team to come up, our music team. We're going to close.